Thank you, Mr. Rusnik. Good afternoon, everyone. Certainly wish everyone a good Sabbath. Those of you who are joining us on the webcast, welcome. Well, I have to tell you, as long as I can remember, I have had a fascination for America's westward expansion. The events of the 1800s, as America was pushing westward on the frontier, everything from Lewis and Clark to the Pony Express to the Oregon Trail. Now, my family and I have had opportunity to visit a number of locations that have such historic significance scattered throughout the West. But I'll tell you, one that I have visited probably 4, 5, maybe 6 times never ceases to captivate me. And that's the site outside of Guernsey, Wyoming, where there are wagon wheel ruts left by the pioneers traversing the Oregon Trail. Now, these wagon wheel ruts, they're not just little shallow indentations. Oh, they're a foot deep, 2 feet, 3 feet in some places. Outside this little community, Guernsey, in southeastern Wyoming, this is the spot where the trail crossed a rocky divide, and the wagon wheels actually cut down into the bedrock, leaving a trench, basically. As I've said, in some places it's 2 or 3 feet deep. Wagon after wagon, train after train, hundreds, thousands of settlers, pioneers, headed towards Oregon. I know of no other place where there's such a visible vestige left of the Oregon Trail anywhere else in the country, and it always captivates me and takes my breath away. Well, you know, brethren, there are striking similarities between these wagon wheel ruts I've just described to you and our lives as Christians, because these wagon wheel ruts illustrate some profound truths about our Christian calling. Today, if you're looking for a title, here it is: Following Christ Forms Lasting Character. Following Christ forms lasting character. Today we're going to examine 3 elements of this statement. Number 1, these wagon ruts were formed, they were carved, they were created by followers. Now, that may surprise you at first. You might say, well, Scott, the pioneers were not followers. They were blazing new trails heading out west. Well, in reality, though, they were followers. Did they just decide to go west without a plan? No, indeed. They followed something. They followed the trail, the Oregon Trail. They usually had a wagon master or a trail master leading the wagon train. You know, it was a group of maybe 25, 30, 50, or 100 families in their wagons who traveled together. They had a map. Usually the wagon master had some general directions, a guide. They looked for landmarks along the way. But most literally, one wagon followed the one immediately before him. And that's how these wagon wheel ruts that I've described to you were carved, by the wheels of wagon after wagon coming through that area. In order to reach their goal, these pioneers needed to follow something. Well, the same is true for us as Christians. Let's begin today in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. The Apostle Paul here is speaking, and he says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." In other words, Paul says to follow him just the same way that he was following or imitating what he saw in Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3, let's look at verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7. Again, Paul is the author here. Notice, he says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us." And then continuing in verse 9, notice the last words here. He says, "But we have made ourselves an example of how you should follow us." Again, Paul saying to other Christians that they should be following the example of Paul and other servants of God, the other apostles. Let's look now to Ephesians chapter 5 and see what verse 1 can offer. Ephesians 5, verse 1, still the apostle Paul, and he says, "Therefore, brethren, be followers of God as dear children." Be followers of God. Well, Christ said very plainly, He and His Father are one, so following God is going to get you the same place as following Christ. Quite clearly, Paul says we need to be following Christ, following God, following the instructions that they have given to us. All right, that's point one. These wagon ruts were formed by followers, and we as Christians also need to know how to follow. Point two, the wagon ruts were formed as a result of effort. These wagon ruts were carved. They were formed through hardship, difficulty, and challenges. Pain, suffering, blood, sweat, and tears. We've all probably seen movies, read books, or seen television shows depicting these pioneers on wagon trains, wagon drives. They took months long, months, weeks and weeks. It wasn't just something that happened over the weekend. No, for weeks and weeks and for months, these settlers, these pioneers, would endure hard conditions. You know, I've always found it interesting the way some of the pioneer women would keep diaries talking about the tragedies, the difficulties that they encountered, talking about river crossings, sometimes people drowned, talking about sickness, illness, and fever. They often had to bury some people along the way. Sometimes they encountered hostilities, savage Indians, highwaymen. Sometimes there was no water. They faced drought and difficulty. The point is, it was a long and difficult trail. But I think what most epitomizes the hardship, the effort in the Oregon Trail are the wagon ruts themselves. Because as I've described to you, these indentions in the rock were actually carved by wagon wheels being dragged across the bedrock by oxen. Lots of friction, lots of challenge, lots of hardship. It took a great deal of effort. Well, brethren, the same is true for all of us as Christians. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. The Apostle Peter writing here, he says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." Now here, we're commanded again to follow Jesus Christ's example. We're right back to point one again about following a good example. But he continues and he tells us very plainly, what is that example? Christ suffered. We all know that. We know that Christ suffered brutally, horribly. And we're told that should be the example for us. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 14. The book of Acts chapter 14. And we want to read verse 22. In Acts 14, verse 22, we read, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Did you catch that? We must through many tribulations, not just a few, but many tribulations, we're told, will make it to God's kingdom. Tribulations, hardship, effort. Turning over just a few pages to Acts 20, let's read a couple more verses here, starting in verse 18. Acts chapter 20, verse 18. Paul here speaking, or we're being told about Paul. When they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Here Paul describes how he served God, with many tears, many trials. Sounds a lot like those pioneers carving those wagon wheel ruts. Let's turn now to the book of James, chapter 5, and look at verse 10, because James adds something further. In James 5, verse 10, James says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. See, again, he goes back to that word example, you know, following an example left by somebody else. But what is that example? It's one of patient suffering. The Oregon Trail was long. It was arduous. It was something to which the pioneers really needed to be committed and devoted. Well, likewise, God's followers will encounter many challenges and difficulties requiring them to expend effort, to endure, to carry on. Finally, point number three. I told you we would look at three elements about the carving, the forming of these wagon ruts. These wagon ruts are lasting and enduring. Maybe you've been to a museum where they have these little velvet ropes marking areas where visitors are not permitted to cross. Sometimes there are signs saying, don't touch. You know, documents like the Declaration of Independence are not available for us to just go and handle. If we went to Washington this afternoon and said, we're here to look at the Declaration of Independence, I have a hunch we would be told, well, you'll see it over here, but it's behind glass. It's probably in a climate-controlled container. Why? Well, they want to preserve it and protect it. It's over 200 years. What now, 240 years old? And they're probably concerned that it would be fragile, and they wouldn't let us just handle it for fear that it would crumble. And they want to protect it and preserve it. And so they wouldn't let us actually just touch it or handle it. No, indeed. But not these wagon ruts. These wagon ruts are just out in the country. There's no attendant there. My family and I have been there when we are the only people there. There's a little parking lot. It's a small section. I suppose the whole thing might occupy 1 acre, maybe two. They've built a sidewalk all the way around it. You can easily traverse it in, 10 minutes, maybe 15. Watch out for rattlesnakes, because it is Wyoming, and it's out in the desert. There are signs there telling you about the Oregon Trail, similar to the things that I have shared with you today. I think they have a couple of bathrooms or latrines, and that's it. There's no fences or anything saying, you cannot come over here. No, it's not like that. You can walk through the wagon ruts. I brought several pictures with today for any of you who would like to see. Come to my seat afterwards, and I'll be happy to show you. There's a picture of me standing among them, so it'll give you an idea just exactly how deep these ruts are. But no one precluded me from walking down into them. There's no sign saying, ladies, no high heels here. We don't want to do anything to harm, the rock here. It's not like walking on a parquet floor. No, nothing like that. Why do you suppose that is? Because these ruts are enduring. They're lasting. They've stood the test of time. They probably look pretty much now like they did 100 and maybe 50 years ago when that last wagon train rolled through those trenches. They haven't changed. They're lasting. Well, the same, brethren, is also true for Christian character. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. It's not far. We're in James right now. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. In 1 Peter 3, verse 1, Peter writes this: "Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on a fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." All right. Ladies, I have no axe to grind with women or with wives. I assure you, I live with a house full of women. I like girls. I have just read what is contained in the passage here. This sermon is not about submission. It's not. And men, I see a few little grins around the room. Let me just tell you, the women haven't cornered the market here, because Peter did not forget about the men. Let's turn over just one page, at least in my Bible it's just one page, to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Peter writes, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility." Here Peter instructs everyone, he says all people, to be submissive to one another with humility. But it's not just Peter. Paul gets in on the act too. Hold your finger here in Peter, because we're coming right back. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Notice here, Paul says, "submitting to one another in the fear of God." Well, I told you to hold your finger in Peter. I hope you did. I just lost my spot, but it's still there. Paul also here instructs all people likewise to submit to one another. Okay, I just told you this sermon is not about submission. But clearly, I just want to make the point. These words here instructing God's people to be submissive to be humble apply to everyone, not just the women. That's important because I don't want any of us to get tripped up here on what we need to read next. I told you to hold your spot in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to go back to verse 3. Because here, Peter writes a gold nugget. It's one that we need for this message today. In verse 3 of chapter 3, notice Peter here says to the women, "Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel." Ladies, there's nothing wrong with you fixing your hair, putting on a nice dress, maybe some nice jewelry. I'll tell you, we like to see you that way very much. I told you, I live with a house full of pretty women. There's nothing wrong with that. But what Peter is saying here, he's saying that actually, you're trying to look your best, but when you do that, you're going to strike out. That might be your second best. He says, your very best, cream of the crop, the way you're really going to look, your very best, he says, that's over in the next verse, verse 4. Verse 4. He says, you know, don't be all worried about your hair or your apparel. He said, but instead, in verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart. Hidden person of the heart. What does that mean? What's hidden in your heart? That's your very core. That's the way you really are inside. That's good character. It should be good character. Godly character. That's why we're all here, isn't it, in God's church? To be developing proper righteous character. And what is righteous character? It's what we do when nobody is looking. That's what God wants. And He wants that to be clear through us to our very core. And here, Peter describes it as that hidden person in the heart. May not always be visible to everyone, but God always sees it. God always sees it. He continues there talking about a gentle and quiet spirit. He continues as well saying, this is very precious in the sight of God. So clearly, brethren, God likes this. He wants this. You're hitting a home run when you do this as far as God is concerned. Okay? I've spent a lot of time here just trying to make sure that we all can get the message on this. Good character, the way we really are deep inside, that's good. God calls it precious. But there's one more word here we dare not miss. That's this gold nugget I have described to you that Peter includes right here in verse 4. He calls it the incorruptible ornament. The margin renders that imperishable. We use those words sometimes. You know, corruptible. What's wrong if something is corrupted? You know, sometimes when I'm working on the computer, I'll get a message that says, data error, file corrupted, not available. You know, Mr. Hirschberger at the back, I think he does a lot of work with computers. And I have a strong suspicion that he strives very hard to make sure that his data remains free from error or corruption. And I would imagine that if I were to ask him right now if he wants his data to become corrupted, I think he'd probably shake his head no. And I see that back there right now. Thank you, Mr. Hirschberger. He doesn't want his data to become corrupted. He wants it to be incorruptible, protected. But right now, we're going through a heat wave. If we go to the grocery store and bring home some groceries, what's the first thing we try to do? Get them out of the hot car, into the house, especially those that are perishable. What if you bought ice cream or milk or some of the produce. You say, get them out of the hot car before they perish and get them inside where it's cool. Well, here, Peter describes this hidden person of the heart, this precious, godly character, as being incorruptible, imperishable. Or in other words, it's lasting, it's enduring. It's just like those wagon ruts I've described to you today. I remember one time when we visited these wagon ruts. I hurried on ahead. I was eager to see them. And I hurried back to the van. I think Sherry was still getting the girls out of the van. And I told her, oh, come. You've got to see this. And my wife said, I'm coming. I've seen them before. But I told her, you haven't seen them like this. And when she made her way back to the trail, she saw what I meant. Because the wind had blown 60, 80, maybe 100 tumbleweeds down into these ruts that I've described to you. They were caught down there. Tumbleweeds. And it was a wondrous sight. And of course, the next time we came back, a couple years later, they were long gone. No tumbleweeds around. So I was saying, you need to hurry. You need to see this. But the point was, the ruts down at the bottom of the trench, they weren't changed. She was absolutely right. She knew what she would see. Because those ruts are enduring. They've stood the test of time. The ravages of the weather, they're still there. They're etched in bedrock. Peter has here described this hidden person of the heart, this inner core, this precious godly character that Christians today are seeking to build as being the same way. Incorruptible, imperishable, lasting, and enduring. It's very much like those wagon ruts that survive the test of time and serve today as a witness of those pioneers who formed them. Brethren, today we've discussed these Oregon Trail wagon ruts. We've discussed the way they were formed in bedrock by pioneers who, number one, knew how to follow. They knew how to follow the trail boss, the wagon master, their guide, the wagon in front of them. Secondly, they expended efforts. They endured hardship and suffering. Weather, environment, wild animals, illness. And thirdly, those ruts that were carved there in the Wyoming rock have been lasting and enduring. We can still see them today. As I mentioned, I brought some photos with me. I hope any of you interested will stop by my seat afterwards to look at them. I don't think you'll be disappointed. But brethren, just like these wagon ruts, we as Christians need to follow. We need to follow Jesus Christ, His instructions as recorded in His Word and as passed along today through His servants in His church. We need to be willing to expend effort to suffer trials, tribulations along the way. And as we do, we will be building the kind of character, godly character, that will last and endure forever. Oftentimes, those pioneers would put a sign on the back or the side of their wagon that would read, Oregon or bust. And that meant, we're committed, we're devoted to going to Oregon, or we're going to bust. We're going to die trying. Well, all of us, as Christians in God's church today, need to have a spiritual sign on our spiritual wagon that says, God's kingdom or bust. Because as Christian pioneers, we must always remember, following Christ forms lasting character.